Welcome to Hot Topics on GraceNetRadio.com. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go from Croatia with the U.S. support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida. Each week, join Dr. Andrew Vuksic and his guests in Croatia as they discuss the hot topics of the day dealing with theology, culture, and more, all relevant to Christians worldwide. The opinions expressed on the program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio. Now from Croatia, your host of Hot Topics, Andrew Vuksic on GraceNetRadio.com.
Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome to Hot Topics, where today we will be discussing this hot topic. Decisional regeneration? What in the world am I talking about? Let's start with the R word. Regeneration means literally a re or new genesis, right? And when we use the word regeneration regarding the things of God, what we're talking about here is that a person is born again. Born from above, he has a new or re-genesis. We come into this world born physically alive, but we're spiritually dead, disconnected from God. Well, how is it that a dead person, person who is dead to God in God's realm, which is the spiritual realm, how is that person made alive? Well, we'll talk about that in a second. Is it based upon our decision or on God's decision? How is it that we have this new genesis, born again, this time in the spiritual realm? So that's regeneration. Decisional regeneration, I guess the way that I would say is most popular today in modern Christianity, decisional regeneration basically claims that you as the human first have to make the decision for Christ in order then to be regenerated, right? You choose Christ, you confess Christ as Savior and Lord, and as a result of your decision, you are then regenerated. And many people who adhere to the camp of decision or decisional regeneration will use Romans 10 as their proof text, where the Apostle Paul talks about in verse 9 that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You see? So what they'll say is, first you have to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. First, you have to believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and as a result, you will be saved. You see? Decisional regeneration. Well, if you just use that verse and you don't understand the overall context, you can make a good case for decisional regeneration, right? But if you take a look at the overall context of what the Apostle Paul had been talking about in the first 10 chapters of the book of Romans, now, you get a bit of a different idea. Let me show you what I mean. In Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 12, the Apostle Paul makes a very interesting statement, by the way, quoting from the Old Testament. He says, in God's eyes, obviously, there is none righteous. Not even one. There's none who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned aside. Together they become useless. There is none who does good. Not even one. Here, the Apostle Paul, again quoting from Old Testament scripture, makes it very clear that when we are dead to God, listen very carefully, we are dead to God. There's no one who understands. There's no one who's righteous. There's no one who does good. And there's no one who seeks God. Why? Because we're dead to God. Oh, wait a second, Andrew. Then why in Romans 10 does it say, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will then be saved? Let's keep looking at the context, right? So here in chapter 3, Paul is making his case that both Jews and Gentiles, in fact, from Romans 1 all the way here to 3, he's making the case that both Jews and Gentiles are alike. We're dead to God. We have a sin nature that renders us dead to God, under the judgment of God. And as a result, dead people don't look for God. Dead people don't sit back and go, let me make a decision for God so that I can be made alive, regenerated in God's realm. You're dead to God, right? In fact, Romans 8, again, Paul makes that very clear as well. He says in verse 6 through 8, he says, the mind set on the flesh or on the sin nature. Again, we come into this world, right? We've inherited a sin nature from Adam and Eve. Again, that makes us dead to God, disconnected from God, under the judgment of God. We want nothing to do with God. We will not look for God. We will not choose God, again, because we are dead to God. Our mind, Paul says here, talking about a person who is not a born-again believer, but a non-believer, he says, the mind that is set on the flesh or sin nature is death. We made that clear. But the mind set on the spirit is life and peace, right? Paul goes on to say in verse 7, the mind that is set on the sin nature, ready, is hostile toward God. What kind of decision is a person who's dead to God going to make towards God? God, I love you? Nope. God, I hate you. Mind set on the sin nature, Scripture says very clearly, is hostile toward God. He goes on to say, it does not subject itself to the law of God. It's not even able to do so. And again, repent, right? That's a command. Well, repent and place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone for salvation, right? That's what Scripture says. It's a command. Well, here's the problem. A person who's a non-believer will never, on his or her own, make a decision to love God, to want to be with God. Why? Because the mind that's set on the sin nature is hostile to God. It cannot submit to God's law. It cannot repent. It cannot place its faith and trust in Christ alone. It cannot, nor will not. Goes on to say, those who are in the flesh, i.e. sin nature, cannot please God. Wow. Paul's making it sound pretty helpless and hopeless for a non-believer, right? Exactly. Again, a person who is dead to God cannot please God. Why? Because he's dead to God. Cannot submit to the law of God. Why? Because he's dead to God. Does not love God. He's hostile to God. Why? Because he's dead to God. He wants nothing to do with God. The only realm he wants anything to do with is the physical realm, because he's alive in that realm, right? And oh, by the way, who is his God in the physical realm? Himself. He lives to please the unholy Trinity, me, myself, and I. That's the realm he's alive in. But chapter 9, the Apostle Paul says, when it comes to somebody being saved, a dead person being made alive. Well, he makes it very clearly after he goes through the examples of the patriarchs and so forth. He concludes by saying in verse 16, so then, it, meaning salvation, does not depend on the man who wills or the man who runs, but on God who has mercy. You see? And then we go to chapter 10. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him, then you will be saved. You see the context here. A person who is dead to God cannot make a decision on his or her own to be made alive to God. God has to make the decision first. And God has to make a dead person alive first. God then makes this regenerated person who's alive. God gives that person the gift of faith to then be able to repent of his or her sins and then to be able to confess with his or her mouth that Jesus is Lord to be justified. Right? Most people in Christianity today say you as the human are the first cause. You have to first make the decision for God, and the result is you are regenerated. The scripture says that's impossible. Rather, you first have to be regenerated, then given the gift of faith, so that you can submit to God's law, repent of your sins, and confess that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you're saved, right? I mean, that's just logical. A dead person, again, if you've heard me teach, I've shared this many times. It was 9 years ago that my father passed away in his sleep. Praise God, he's home with the Lord. Well, Danielle and I had to fly back from Croatia, and I had to perform the memorial service. And there I was, talking in front of my mother and my wife and all the people who had come to, you know, pay their respects to my father. And there was my father in the casket next to me. He was dead. Now, praise God, that was just his body. I know where his spirit was and with whom. And I know my father's going to get a new body, a glorified body one day. But the point is, when he was lying in that casket, why is it my father didn't make the decision to hop out of that casket and hug his wife who was crying and hug his son who was really struggling, right, performing that service? Even though it was a joyous celebration that I knew my father was home to the Lord, of course I miss him. It was tough to see him in that casket. Why is it my father didn't make that decision to come out of the casket? I mean, what, is he unloving to us? No. Why did he make the decision? Because he was what? Dead. And isn't that the same thing with us in the spiritual realm? We can't make the decision for God until he first makes us alive. More on that after the break.
You're listening to Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic from his church location in Croatia. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go with a support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida, where each week Andrew gives the Word of God via live webcast. For more information about service times and directions to Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida, please find a link to their site at gracenetradio.com. And now, back to Hot Topics. Here again is Dr. Andrew Vuksic.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Hot Topics, where today, as you can see on the screen behind me, we're discussing a very hot and even controversial topic, decisional regeneration. If you were with us on the first part of the show, we talked about, we actually defined what decisional regeneration is. Basically, it means that we as humans have to first make the decision for Christ in order then to be regenerated or born again, born in the spiritual realm. And we also saw one of the proof texts that those who adhere to decisional regeneration, one of the proof texts they use is in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, where scripture says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So they say, look, you first, scripture says you have to first make the decision that Jesus is Lord. You have to first make the decision to believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Then you'll be saved. Then you will be regenerated. And again, if you were with us on the first part of the show, we kind of broke that theory apart where we said, well, wait a second. You never want to take one verse and just make doctrine on it. You want to look at the overall context. And as we looked at the overall context of the first 10 chapters of Romans, we see what Scripture says, that a person is dead to God, will never seek God, cannot submit to the law of God, will never submit to the law of God, is hostile to God, will never choose for God. That's why God has to first regenerate a person, make a dead person alive, then give that person who's now regenerated, now alive, God gives that person the gift of faith to then be able to repent of his or her sins, and then to be able to confess with his or her mouth that Jesus is Lord, and to believe in his or her heart that God raised Jesus from the dead to be saved. You see it? Again, the Reformed view does not agree with decisional regeneration, where man first makes a decision for Christ and then is regenerated. No, the Reformed view teaches that God first has to make you alive. He has to first regenerate you, again, give you the gift of faith in order for you to be able to then make that decision for Christ. In fact, we just look in Ephesians chapter 2, it's very clear there, right? The Apostle Paul talking to believers in Ephesus, in the church in Ephesus there, and he's describing how they used to be. He said in verse 1, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air," that's Satan, "of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience." So scripture says we were dead to God, we were deceived by Satan, and we were walking in disobedience to God. Well, it gets worse. "Among them, we too all," talks about everybody, all of humanity, "we all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature children, not of God, children of wrath." We were dead to God, we were deceived by Satan, we were disobedient to God, and we were damned because of our hostility towards God. You see those four D's? How can anybody like this make a decision for God? You can't. Won't. It's impossible. Well, then how is a person regenerated? Well, verse 4. But God. There it is right there. But God. Right? But God. "Being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, God made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." Who made the decision? You or God? God did. Who made you alive? You, based upon your decision? Or did God do it? God did it. And then you hop down to verse 8. "For by grace you've been saved," here it is, "through faith. This is a gift of God. It's not of yourself, so that no one can boast." Watch. He says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith. This, both the grace and the faith, is a gift from God. Not of yourselves, not as a result of your works, so that no one can boast." Here it is. How's a person who is dead to God, deceived by Satan, disobedient to God, and damned, how is that person made alive to God? Based upon that person's decision? Not a chance. It is God who is rich in mercy, God who is rich in love, God, because of the gift of his grace and the gift of faith, has made you alive. God, in his sovereign grace, chose to make you alive. He regenerated you. God, in his sovereign grace, gave you the gift of faith. It's not of yourselves. It's a gift from God. What is the grace to choose you? And the faith he gives you, so that you then can confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. You can cry out for mercy. "Have mercy on me, the sinner." You can believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead to be saved. You see? Man doesn't make the first decision towards Jesus and then as a result is regenerated. No. God makes the first decision. In fact, God made the decision before the foundation of time. God first regenerates you. That's his grace. God then gives you the gift of faith. That's his grace. So that you then, as a person who's now alive in God's realm and has the faith to go, "Whoopa, I'm a wretched sinner. Oh, I desperately need a savior. And Jesus, I believe you are the one and only Savior." You see how it works? It's a work of God. Again, a dead person cannot make a decision for God and won't, right? But it's very interesting. Today, throughout modern Christianity, you see this idea of decisional regeneration everywhere. Just go to a Sunday church service. Many churches, at the end of their service, do what is called an altar call. Come forward, make a decision for Christ. That's decisional regeneration. Now, I'm not against an altar call, okay? There are times people have said to me in the congregation, you know, I'll get fired up towards the end, and they'll go, you know, right before I say amen, and they'll go, wow, Andrew, I thought you were going to do an altar call. Nothing wrong with an altar call as long as it does not give people a false sense of their salvation, which unfortunately many altar calls do. You kind of hear the altar call being led this way. Now is your time. Now it's up to you. You have to make a decision for Christ. He's knocking on your heart, but he can't come in unless you open the door. Make the right decision today. Decisional regeneration. In fact, you really need to show your faith. You need to come forward. You need to make that decision today to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart in order to be saved. And then people come flooding forward. Many people who actually have come forward maybe 50 times in their lives. And then they're congratulated for coming forward, for making the right decision today. They then are led in what is commonly called a sinner's prayer, where today, Lord, I open my heart to you. Today, Lord, I invite you in. Today, Lord, I ask you to be my Savior. Today, I've made a decision for eternal life. At the end of that prayer, pastor will also often say, today you made the best decision you could have ever made. Congregation claps, 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 and there we go. In many instances, those people are given a false sense of their salvation, because they think that they were the first cause of their salvation, that because they made a decision, and very often they make the decision based upon the fact, well, you know, look, if your life's not working out so well, or, hey, listen, God has a wonderful plan for you, you just need to come forward and show that faith and this, that, and the other thing. And again, people are coming forward under their false pretenses. They're actually thinking that they are the first cause so that they can be regenerated. And the whole system is flawed. And it gives people a false sense of security, a false sense of salvation. And they never are truly secure because many of them don't really have true saving faith. They haven't been regenerated by God. And therefore, that's why they just keep going forward on altar calls. Or you need to raise your, bow your head and raise your hand and make a decision for Christ. Or fill out this card, make a decision for Christ. And again, don't get me wrong. I'm not against, like I said, if, look, you do need to make a decision for Christ, right? I mean, scripture's clear. Romans 10, verse 9. You need to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. You need to believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and you will be saved, right? Of course you make a decision, but you are not the first cause of that decision. God is. Your decision does not make you alive to God. God first makes you alive, gives you the gift of faith, so that you can then make the decision. Does that make sense? It's just the order here. And so my concern is that decisional regeneration, A, places the human as the first cause of their salvation. B, sells very well in our Western culture, where we like to be in control of everything. We like to make our own decisions. And unfortunately, decisional regeneration is often a tool that is used to manipulate people's emotions. And the result is, you've got a ton of people who have made decisions for Christ, but are not in a true saving relationship with Christ. And it's going to be a big and very bad surprise from them that day when the Lord says, I never knew you. Salvation is all the work of God. God is the one who makes the sovereign decision, who has made the sovereign decision to save the elect. Christ is the one who has made the sovereign decision to go to pay for the sins of the elect. The Holy Spirit is the one who makes the sovereign decision to regenerate those who have been redeemed and elected, to make them alive and to give them the gift of faith. Salvation is God's sovereign grace. It is all of God, and therefore God gets all the glory. Here, man shares in the glory. I had to first make a decision in order to be made alive. That's wrong. That is very wrong. God makes the decision. God makes you alive. God gives you the gift of faith so that you then can repent of your sins and place your faith and trust in Christ. That's what Jesus was telling Nicodemus in John 3. And that's what Paul was telling Titus to teach the churches in Crete in Titus chapter 3. And that's what Paul's saying here in Ephesians 2. That's what Paul was saying in Romans. That's what Scripture says throughout. That's what God says in Ezekiel 36. I will give you a new heart. I will give you a new spirit. I will cleanse you. You see throughout Scripture, it is God and God alone who makes the decision to save his people. And again, that's why God and God alone gets all the glory. Amen.
This has been Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic. The views and opinions were those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. You can email Pastor Vuksic directly at pastorandrew@aol.com. Join us Sundays at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the USA, or 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. in Croatia for Hot Topics, only on GraceNetRadio.com.